Hi, I'm Kevin Clark, Associate Editor for America Magazine. There's been a change of leadership this month at Catholic Relief Services, the relief and development arm of the U.S. Catholic Church. But will that mean a change of direction? I recently spoke with Catholic Relief Services' new CEO, Carolyn Wu. Ms. Wu comes to CRS after a lengthy tenure as Dean of the University of Notre Dame's Mendoza College of Business. I asked Ms. Wu how her background in business and experience at Mendoza translates into this new role at CRS.
Kevin, my background is in strategic planning. I've been in that since the 1970s. So my role has always been looking at the future and see how an organization could be better positioned for its future to be successful. And so I've done that with corporations, with not-for-profits, and with our own business school. And that's what I would take with me. CRS, as you know, is an extremely effective operation. Has high-quality work, is extremely well-respected, and is known for its fiscal stewardship and the ability to achieve positive outcomes, no matter how complex it is. So it is a well-oiled machine in terms of day-to-day operations and its ability to deliver in humanitarian relief. What I think it needs, though, is to, while people are heads down working, we need someone to be heads up, looking at the major changes in our environment and the various expectations, to think about how do we need to position this organization, what new capabilities we need to develop. Are we structured in the most optimal way to support the people's work in the field? So I would characterize my role as heads up while the field is heads down. And also, our people are very busy taking care of people in need. I think it's my role to take care of the organization.
You have a background in entrepreneurialism, if that's a word. Did I just make that word up, or is that
it's
a real word?
Entrepreneurship.
Thank you. What does that, is that a skill that you hope to build into the DNA at Catholic Relief Services? And if so, what does that mean in terms of relief and development work?
I actually think that CRS is an extremely effective entrepreneurial operation. It has stepped up. It has responded to a lot of opportunities. New grants, new foundations. But what we need sometimes is if we respond to too many things, if we spread ourselves too thin, we could be in the game. But the question is, do we excel in what we have chosen to do? So I think that my role is to look at not only the entrepreneurial attribute of CRS, but to look at the implementation and the structure of the organization, the core competencies, the alliances that we may need to build as we position ourselves in the future environment.
What do you think are your core competencies at Catholic Relief Services? What do you guys excel at?
CRS excel in various things. Number one, of course, is relief. Relief work is actually very complicated. You need to move quickly. It's a high-velocity environment. You need to make good decisions in a short period of time. And the relief work actually changes in character. The first day of relief, the type of problems you take care of is different than the second day and the third day. And also the environment changes in a disaster situation. The first day, there may be very few people who are available to do relief. By the third or fourth day, there may be other agencies with different types of expertise. And the government is now operating at different level. And so the cast of players changes, and the different days of relief. And the nature of the work also changes in the different days of relief. Then there's the post-event reconstruction period too, and that is a completely different set of attributes than just emergency relief. And so CRS excel in being just extraordinary in the ability to make those decisions, to mobilize the network of people, contacts, partners to move into action quickly, and to be able to deliver that work in a high quality manner with a high degree of fiscal responsibility.
Do you see the work shifting? Obviously, you will always be on the cusp of responding to humanitarian crises as they occur. But is the development aspect of the work CRS does, is that becoming more important or more of a focus for the organization?
Development absolutely has increased in importance beyond just emergency relief. And if you look at the nature of CRS work, it has grown in that scope. And that is a different type of work that we do beyond relief into agricultural projects in certain cities in terms of mapping the farmers and so on into the supply chain for large companies. We have worked with education projects in Pakistan and different places, building schools. We have worked with local community to build civil society and a lot of peace building work. But the whole idea, the relief is not over just because you're able to put shelter on top of a person and they can be fed and their band-aids and medical care. Is that what about the rest of their lives? And in situations like the tsunami, you have to think about livelihood, right? I mean, these people's houses are gone. Their livelihood is gone if it's a boat or fish net or a particular place to fish. And so the job is not done just because we take care of the first round of issues. Life actually begins after we leave. And so the key is how do we then respond to this new set of needs?
That seems to suggest you might find yourself with boots on the ground for a very long time in a number of different places around the world. How does that become sustainable?
It is a long time. So, for example, in the tsunami relief in India and Indonesia, CRS actually stayed there for 5 years. And we actually received funding from other relief agencies where they had people who donated to them. But not everyone should stay or could stay for a long period of time. But we did to see through the whole reconstruction, building houses, building livelihood. And sometimes building houses take time. You have to discern the ownership of the land, and sometimes you have to work through community issues to get some type of agreement of who will get what, so that you don't create conflicts among people who have to live together. So that particular project had a 5-year horizon. And so you ask a very good question, and that is how do we sustain this work, particularly when it has a long tail response. And so that is one of the strategic challenges to embrace. It has implications for funding. It has implications for new skills or more of the skills that we need to develop to support development.
In terms of funding, Catholic Relief Services, like a lot of international relief agencies, gets a good amount of its source resources from the United States government. Do you see that as a future challenge for the organization in terms of both keeping the attention of the government on relief and development work and in light of all the budget cutting that's in the air in Washington these days?
Yes, that would be a challenge, just because we know that the U.S. economy, and we're in a period where resources are not plentiful, so there would be some resorting, there would be sorting out of where the priorities are. And even the funding which is given, there will be high expectations and high performance outcomes expected with it. So, yes, that's a challenge. And that's why we need to have heads up to look at not only what will happen in terms of U.S. government funding, but where are the new sources of funding? And what type of work, what type of capabilities do we need to have to be successful in getting new sources of funding?
Are you in a crunch now, or are you finding that American Catholics are remaining generous in keeping your programs going?
CRS in this period of the last decade, a little bit more, has grown from a $200 million agency to a $1 billion agency. All right. And so that reflects that even though we have difficult economic challenges, in the end, strategy tells us that if you are a top performer, you actually sometimes come out of difficult economic situations better because you become more visible. When people could only support 4 or 5 or 6 things instead of 14 or 15 or 16 things, they start looking at who are the 4 or 5 that should be supported. And here is where excellence really makes a big difference.
Can you give us a couple of examples of a few recent areas that CRS intervened that would you say was the agency at its best?
Well, Haiti is one of those examples. And CRS plays a very major role in Haiti. It is a very difficult reconstruction environment. And it needs patience, It needs a lot of expertise and partners on the ground, on the site. Here, I think CRS is one of the major relief agencies in Haiti. Another area of work that CRS has been known for is the HIV/AIDS work in Africa.
What would you say are the biggest challenges facing Catholic Relief Services in the next, say, the 5 or 10 year horizon?
I would say there are two types of challenges as well as opportunities. The first is that what you have witnessed, the frequency of major disasters has just grown and grown. So if you just look across the number of floods that you're reading about, the nuclear meltdown in Japan, various type of civil wars and conflicts within countries. So whether it is environmental disaster, whether it is oncoming famine, whether it is something so unpredictable as the Japanese nuclear issue, I think that the frequency of disasters, there's just no indication that it will go down.
How effective do you think Catholic Relief Services has been, you know, about raising these concerns to the U.S. Catholic public? Are you reaching people? Are you motivating them? Are you keeping their attention on this, on these issues?
Kevin, I would say that this is one of our biggest opportunities. And that is for the work that we have done and for the expertise and the knowledge we have in the organization. How well have we used these to engage the U.S. Catholics and to inspire the U.S. Catholics and to inform, educate, engage them? I think that that is a huge opportunity for us. And I would say at this point, I consider it more of an opportunity rather than a momentum we have established.
Can you share a little bit about your personal background and how it might affect the way you approach your job and the direction of the agency in the future?
I was actually very blessed. I was born in Hong Kong to parents who chose to leave China because of the communist government. So in some ways, I was born to refugees. And Hong Kong was a city of refugees. I was born in the 50s and as you know, the communist government came into power around 1950 or so, 48. So I grew up with friends who are all of our parents were dislocated and had to build new life in a new city. So that's the first start. The second thing is that I was enrolled in the Mary Knoll Sisters School. So from grade 1 to 12, I was educated by the Mary Knoll Sisters. So I had 12 years, spending about 12 hours a day with the Mary Knoll Sisters. And of course, they're very strong in, you know, the preferential option for the poor. And then at the same time, I live in Hong Kong, which is one of the most capitalist city in the world. And I was raised in a Chinese culture, but educated by Americans. So the different type of influences, cultural influences, political influences, were right there. But the most important thing was sort of the incredible faith and spirit of can-do of the Mary Knoll Sisters. And there are different things I learned from the Mary Knoll Sisters. Number one is that they were always joyful. They were just, they had great humor, great spirit. Things were always fun. And they were not easily intimidated. They wrote proposals. They petitioned the government. If they needed seed money, at one point they gave up public transportation in order to have seed money for a new school. They built hospitals. They built clinics. They went and ministered to the boat people at that point. And the word cannot just does not exist in their vocabulary. So, for example, I learned English when I was very young. I learned English when I was in second grade, and we were instructed in English because the nuns could not speak Cantonese, all right? So, you know, now I look back and I thought, what entrepreneurial people? You know, every time there was a barrier, they'll find a way to overcome the barrier and actually lead to better outcome. And so those 12 years were just sort of working with people of tremendous faith. Incredible energy, creativity, full of spirit, full of fun. And you know, and we had great academics. So, for example, they wanted us to get into debate, which is a very un-Chinese activity. But because we learned English young, we were good debaters, and we tended to win trophies. So they decided that we should compete against English-speaking boys. So there were the British schools for the families of the British soldiers in Hong Kong. So they started a debate activity where we were debating English speakers. And so those were the things that they did. And nowadays, I'm still very involved with the Maronite Sisters. I'm part of the advisory board. I see them regularly. My classmates from first grade are still my best friends. And the system was very competitive, but they taught us how to be a team, how to look after each other. And of course, Hong Kong itself was changing. I mean, it went from sort of a little fishing village in the 30s and 40s with this influx of immigrants became sort of a powerhouse in the world. So with all of those influences, I think what it has created in me is, first of all, a sense to trust in God, trust in the Holy Spirit, to know that whatever problems that we're presented with is actually an opportunity, is an invitation, cultivate your team, build your team, because you can't win with what you don't have. You can only win with what you do have. And so the people who are with you, they're tremendous resources. Help them to become the best version of themselves as human beings and also as professionals. So those are some of the things I've learned. And then I chose a field, which is strategic planning, which is the most unlikely field for a Chinese when I was young. You know, we are very good in quantitative methods and mathematics and so on. But for some reason, when I was 21 years old, I decided that I want to explore this field called strategic planning. And it was just sort of like an impulse to do something completely different. And that has changed the way I look at issues. I don't look at issues, just looking at today. I really look into the future. In some strange way, I feel like the missionary work came full circle. And that is the Americans sent the Maronite Sisters into that part of the world, which in those days, when they first went over there, was called the Yellow Peril. And I was a beneficiary of their work from Hong Kong. And today now, I am to lead the Humanitarian Relief Agency of the U.S. Catholic Church. And so I actually think of this more as the missionary work. You get to see sort of like what is the fruit of the missionary work of the church.
And I guess it's also a great expression of the diversity that is the Roman Catholic Church in the modern era.
Well, it's a global church, right? I mean, I think this is the whole idea of the global church. And I think the fact that I, as an immigrant from Hong Kong to the U.S., have been given the type of academic, professional, and now leadership opportunities is also a nod to the opportunities available in this country. And that the U.S. Catholic Church also provided this opportunity for me. By the way, when I left Hong Kong to come to Purdue University, I was a lonely 18-year-old. The first place that took me in was the Catholic Newman Center, St. Thomas Aquinas Center. And then it became sort of my home for all of my days at Purdue. When I defended my dissertation, my PhD dissertation, the St. Thomas Aquinas Center actually rang the church bells. And I met my husband in that church, and we were married, and our kids were baptized in that church. So when I first came over, I knew no one. I was lost at Purdue. I was supposed to go to the registrar, but I ended up in the office of the musical organizations, all right, because I didn't know how to read a map. When you come from a city, you only know bus routes. You don't have to read a map.
Yeah.
So I ended up in the Office of Musical Organizations, and I was crying. And the lady asked me, do you have a faith? I said, I'm Roman Catholic. And they called the Newman Center and say, there is this girl we're sending you. Take care of her. The first two people who really befriended me and took me in were the priest and the lay director of the Newman Center.
Well, and here's hoping you can keep providing a Catholic shoulder to cry on and assistance anywhere around the world.
Absolutely. And we have to think about this work. We can be intimidated by the challenge of it, right? I mean, it's complex, it's large. We're always sort of trying to respond not only to the crisis, but also watching for the resources that we need. You could be overwhelmed by this, but on the other hand, is to think about the fact that the privilege of doing this work, not only to serve the people in need, but it's witness that the Catholic Church is acting, you know, on the principles that Christ left us. So it's a way of living our faith. It's a form of witness for the young people and for the people of the American church. So it's a tremendous privilege, and always to remember is to do your very best and then, you know, leave the rest to the Holy Spirit. You have to always remember the part that the Holy Spirit plays. And sometimes now when I go to work at Notre Dame, I start at the grotto, and I stay at the grotto, and I said, Blessed Mother, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, today is a work day. We all have to show up for work.
And they never fail to show
they
up.
They never fail to show up.
Okay. Well, we've been talking with Dean Carolyn Wu. Thank you for speaking with us today.